Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. We're live with you right here. It's Game Time Decisions. It's a somber Tuesday. Certainly not a dinger Tuesday. Certainly not. Kevin Walsh with you right here on Game Time Decisions. I am truly sad heading into today's show. Little annoyed. I'm trying not to call out baseball, the sport. The baseball, the sport, doesn't deserve that. I think a lesser version of me would blame this on the sport that is Major League Baseball. I'm not going to do that. But for anybody who has no idea what in the world I'm referring to, the Dinger Tuesday promotion has come to a close. In fact, our team here was, I believe, first on the scene, talking with support and finding out that it has ended for the year. And they went as far as to say they're not sure if it will be back next year. Now what? I mean, what are you talking about? What's going on here? I closed yesterday's show proudly telling you, the people, we would not forget about baseball on this year program. And the next thing you know is the Top Dog Sportsbook says, forget about the sport. Open up Game Time tonight with college football futures, with NFL breakdowns. You know, lower graphic. Where is CeeDee Lamb? That's what they want. I'm not going to do that. I won't do that. You don't deserve that. I don't deserve that. The people in the back don't deserve that. We have to talk Major League Baseball. But this is an honest place. I have my guys circled, right? Five or six. I'm waiting on the White Sox lineup. That is a ridiculous thing to say, but I don't care. It is true. It's out. Oh, come on. Where's Oscar Colas? I mean, if you think that this show is going to not talk baseball, you're nuts. We're 5 minutes in, and Oscar Colas' name is on the table, baby. Come on now. We're fired up. I'm going to bet a national today. I should not do that. All I'm saying is Oscar Colas actually hits lefties, for the record. It would be nice to see the White Sox let the kid get some run. Apparently, they're not going to do that. What a shame. Heartbreaking, in fact. Nevertheless, I'll have five guys tonight that I like. I'll tell you the names. Xavier Edwards, Miami Marlins. Alex Call, Washington Nationals. Alec Burleson, St. Louis Cardinals. Carlos Santana for the Minnesota Twins. And Brent Rooker for the Oakland Athletics. Those are my five guys. All of those guys have 1.5 hit run RBI props, which is typically where I would be. However, those are a little more expensive than I would like for them to be. Edwards and Caller at minus 140. Burleson's at minus 145. Carlos Santana is at minus 130. Brent Rooker is a nice and accessible minus 115. I'm trying to figure out, do I want to lay that juice? Do I want to say, forget it, and still bet him for home runs? Do I want to get into the Donnie right side round robin game? I find myself, admittedly, at this moment, a little up in the air. I'm being honest with you. I hate that. Those are the guys. Those are the research picks. Trust me. Went through it all, right? That's not going to change. I'm still trying to figure out where to go. As Adam Schefter tweets about CeeDee Lamb in the middle of this whole thing. Schefty wants the bottom to say, where's CeeDee? Not going to happen. I want an Adam Schefter Dinger Tuesday pick. Find me a major leaguer that went to Michigan. That's probably who he's on. Let's be honest here. Let's be honest. I do have a couple of spots that I like outside of player props, though. So we can go through those for you here because we are going to go through this Major League Baseball board, and there's certainly some big games on this baseball board. Louis Heel going for the Yanks off the Clay Holmes collapse in Williamsport. I know he only gave up one. I don't care. It felt like he gave up 100 for them to lose that game. But I'm not on that game. I'm on money lines with the Mets, and I'm on a money line with the St. Louis Cardinals. I think we've got a pair of good spots in that game. We'll start with the New York Mets. Jose Quintana up against Dean Kremer. Look, the Baltimore Orioles are certainly the better baseball team, right? And the Baltimore Orioles are a very good road team. But the number works here for me. I think you've got Quintana, somewhat bouncy back spot. But more specifically, I think this is Kremer. We call, you know, the reverse, right? This is a sell high spot. Six innings, one earned run. That's not who he is. If you look this season, when he goes out there and gives you one earned or less, the next start, six earned runs, three earned runs, five earned runs, four earned runs. So Dean Kremer will be had tonight by New York Mets. I think Quintana, less so at home. I think the Mets are a good spot here. I like Fetty against Montas with St. Louis in a very similar price range on that money line. Frankie Montas, not great. Man, I got to tell you, the market this year, it's incredible when you look at ultimately who was traded, right? And Jack Flaherty goes from Detroit over to L.A. Who was the second best pitcher traded from the deadline or that range? You might be shouting some answers out. That's fine. Here's the thing. Maybe this is a little stubborn pride. I can't name the person. So we didn't have stars. I would have known if the answer to that was Crochet or Snell, right? Instead, you had guys almost grabbing inning eaters. We talked yesterday here on the show with Craig Mish about Trevor Rogers, who was going for the Baltimore Orioles. And if you're the Baltimore Orioles, look, and I know that game wasn't Rogers' fault, walk-off fashion, but Francisco Alvarez, hold on now. I mean, let's side note this. That's what I'm talking about, Major League Baseball. Go and watch the Francisco Alvarez walk-off home run. And baseball needs to implement one of their the unwritten rules, right? If you do not celebrate a walk-off like that, I want you suspended 10 games because you're not growing the game. I'm not saying everything, you know, with not all bats have to go sky high like Jose Bautista. That's special. That's all time. Saw a good Jose Bautista clip today. Made me chuckle. I'll give you no context on that. Other than it's out there. Maybe you've seen it. But I do like the Cardinals here because, again, Frankie Montas, we know the name, not a great pitcher. ERA's closer to a 5 this season. And I think you've got Fetty in a really, really nice bounce-back spot here. Gave up 4 earned last time. If you look this season, when he's given up 4+, the bounce-back spots are very, very legitimate, and that's what I'm expecting here for the St. Louis Cardinals. Is Eric Fetty the second-best pitcher that was acquired at the deadline? Maybe. I don't know. I'm open to it. I, sneaky, might fall in love with the White Sox from here until the season's over. I was on them last night. Lost. Didn't mind it. Didn't mind losing with the Chicago White Sox. They were winning for a while. Maybe the reason I didn't mind it is because I had them plus a run and a half for the full game. And anybody who took that team plus a half a run in the first 5 was absolutely tortured in a scoreless game that saw Chicago score in the top of the 5th, and I think give up 5 in the bottom. They're like 50 games back of the Guardians. It's nuts. They're 30-96. They could win out, and it would make no difference. Like, they could have the greatest winning streak in baseball history, and it would make no difference. What an people texting me. They want the Jose Bautista clip. I'll get it to the necessary people. I'm also thinking we go under once again in Rangers Pirates tonight here on this baseball board, man. You see how relaxed and calm I am? I'm at home with the baseball board. I just missed the dinger.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
I missed the dingers. Bradford Keller, nice little bounce back spot here for Mitch Keller. I know he's been really, really rough in his last two outings. 7 earned against the Dodgers, 8 earned against the Padres. He's a much, much better pitcher than that. I think you see him bounce back, and I think Bradford's been good for Texas. So I like that game under the 8.5. We're going to continue to knock it down here, though. We'll do a little bit of the WNBA as well. We're live on a Tuesday night. Sports Grid, we got you covered.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live with you right here on Sports Grid. Game time decisions, making it happen on a Tuesday night. We open it up by just kind of going through the board again. I'm going to settle up here with you guys on those player props. Before we get to 6:30, we'll get Tom and Vecchio in the mix here. But Marlins Diamondbacks has some juice for me. I may just do the home run round robin. One of our guys in the back's been involved with that. Reached out to, you know, Mr. Round Robin DRS. He says tries to keep him plus money, so maybe that's just a better approach here. Again, I'm not always desperate to get plus money involved, right? The reason I like to play hit run RBI is because I find it to be primarily a safer market. But when you're dealing with minus 130, minus 140 as your normal juice, then you have to have a great night. Like, I could, you know, on those five guys go 3-2 and maybe, you know, and scrape out even. Because depending on how you lay it, right, with the juice and everything like that. So I'm trying to figure out the best approach here. And look, I've been trying to talk to people and reach out a little bit. And again, I'm just being straight up honest with the people, which is what I always try and do. We covered that. One thing I didn't get to, though, is where we are in terms of, you know, big games tonight. I know I mentioned a little bit the spot for the Yankees and the Guardians, but man, Atlanta and Philadelphia is a huge one. And the number tonight on the Phillies, minus 152, Zach Wheeler, it's raising the eyebrow a little bit. Minus 155 in some other books, minus 160 some spots. So Zach Wheeler is, we'll keep it National League, one of the three best pitchers from a booking perspective, right? When you consider he's on the Philadelphia Phillies, he might arguably be the best pitcher. In, like, if everything's neutral, you stack them all up, it's Wheeler versus Glasnow on a neutral. The Phils might get the nod, right? On a neutral, he's getting the nod over Skeens on Pittsburgh, and I think he would get it over Sale. Now, not in Atlanta, but he's getting minus 150 nearly against Ronaldo Lopez in Atlanta. That's the first time we've seen Ronaldo Lopez in a couple of weeks. He only threw 9 total innings post All-Star break. Went out there for 6 innings against the Reds, gave up 4 earned, and then threw 3 scoreless against the Mets and left that game. We haven't seen him since the 28th of July. But Ronaldo Lopez was Cy Young-ish, right? Like, had he stayed healthy, Ronaldo Lopez is finishing probably in the top 5 of your Cy Young ballot. Sale, Wheeler, Skeens, Cease, and then maybe between Ronaldo Lopez and Hunter Green, right? And if Ronaldo Lopez stayed healthy, it was his. So now you look at this number, and this is where kind of flipping home field advantage, I do this a lot. You're going to hear me do this a ton during football season. Sometimes it kind of proves the point. Maybe sometimes I value it too much. But if we flipped home field advantage here, right? And what is home field worth in Major League Baseball? Let's say it's worth 15 cents, right? And let's take that minus 155 number that you can find on the Phils at DraftKings. On a neutral, we'd be up to minus 170. Put it in Philadelphia, we're at minus 185. If it's worth 20 cents, now we're at nearly minus 200. Zach Wheeler being minus 200 at home isn't uncommon, but Ronaldo Lopez being a plus 160, plus 170, plus 180 kind of underdog. So I'm trying to figure out, and I don't think this is a hindsight thing, right? Our evaluation of Ronaldo Lopez will, from a big picture perspective, matter more on what we see, and then we'll figure, you know, from the postseason. But I'm talking about this number tonight. Is this because the books are over Ronaldo Lopez, who at one point had a 170 RA, and then it escalated a little bit, 206? Is this because he's back from injury? He went out there, threw 70-plus pitches in his AAA start. It's a little under what we usually get, but from a warm-up start, that's pretty good. Gave up 3, struck out 4. It feels, or is this because Zach Wheeler is getting even ramped up more in what the books believe of him, if that's possible? Zach Wheeler had one nightmare start against the Yanks, absolutely smashed. We kind of celebrated it here on Game Time Decisions because it's what put Paul Skeens in front of Zach Wheeler. But, I mean, if you look at everything that's happened around that start, it's been 2 earned or less. It's mostly been 6-plus innings of work. Again, I find this game super fascinating from a booking perspective because this could be a playoff matchup. And maybe some of this isn't just on Ronaldo Lopez. It's on the accumulation of the injuries. Austin Riley, Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna Jr. And maybe what is a normal Brave number is something I'm late to adjusting to, right? I know I was late to adjust to the Diamondbacks getting hot. But every night I was looking at the board like, Diamondbacks are way too big of favorites. Win. Diamondbacks, wait, whoa, what kind of numbers that win? Constantly. Maybe this is a route here tonight by Philly. Maybe this lineup can't get off the mat against Zach Wheeler. 2 earned or less again. For Zach Wheeler, that would be par for the course. And maybe this Braves lineup, it's certainly a shell of itself compared to the preseason expectations. They're missing arguably 1-2-3, right? On opening day, was that 1-2-3? I'd have to go back and look, but it was probably right around there. It's an important series because the Atlanta Braves are up against the top team. And they're in this wild card race, right? So from that end of it, it's an important series. But tonight, it feels important to see how this lineup handles Zach Wheeler, how Zach Wheeler handles this lineup, and can we get 80, 90 type of pitch a game out of Ronaldo Lopez? It's a big one there in Atlanta. I'm excited to watch it play out. No doubt. We're coming up against the break, though, on Sports Grid. We have Tom Vecchio around the corner, some WNBA for you right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back to the right here, Sports Grid Game Time Decisions. We're in the mix with you on a Tuesday night, and we have Major League Baseball in full effect. We also have a three-pack of WNBA action here, and on a kind of big-picture perspective, I like all these underdogs here. I'm not ready to line it up on any of the favorites right now, and I want to go through that. We'll go game by game, but that's kind of the broad picture that which I'm looking at this game through. Let's start right off with Connecticut and LA. The Sun, a 13.5-point favorite going up against the Los Angeles Sparks. And part of the hesitation there for me, look, this Connecticut team certainly got better by adding Marina Mabry. But in the same way, it felt like you could certainly overreact and give them a lot of credit for the win against Dallas. You can overreact and take a lot off of that team for the loss against Atlanta. Lost by 12, held to 70 points. Offense, you know, right away evens back out from what we saw from them again on the road against Dallas. The Sparks, while I know they were absolutely smashed to bits in that opening game against the Liberty, beat down by 16 against the Vegas Aces, they have obviously been tested here to start the second half of the WNBA season. Rekia Jackson continuing to get better. And I do think you can specifically look to Dorica Hamby for a much better performance here in this game. Her last two games, she scored 20 total points on 6 of 20 shooting from the field. She's just a significantly better player than that. She's really been the best player on this Sparks team throughout this season. And if your best player going up can kind of break through a little bit, I think it's going to help a lot. The other thing is, with that Sun offense kind of flashing its more normal self against the Dream, and this total checking in 158.5, much lower than the total the Sparks played when they went up against the Liberty or went up against the Vegas Aces, it's a lot more difficult to extend and cover a number like you see here tonight on that 13.5-point line. So that's the direction that I'm looking there. Then we get over to game number two, which is the Storm and the Mystics. It's a 7-point number here. And this is where it kind of, interestingly enough, goes back to one of my prevailing preseason thoughts, which was the Minnesota Lynx were better than the Seattle Storm. And that has so far played out. But, man, when we look at the numbers that we've seen for the Minnesota Lynx against the Washington Mystics, and then compare the number that we're seeing here on the Seattle Storm against the Washington Mystics, the books think the Storm are the better basketball team, which is a little bit surprising. If we take a look here, right, the Mystics were laying or were catching around five. Number was moving against them in that matchup against the Lynx. Here tonight, the Storm are laying 7. I can't get there. I really can't. I understand that this is a team that's kind of been banged up. Carly Samuelson is going to be out for this one. She only played about a minute of that game, number 2 against Minnesota. She did play about 29 or so minutes in the matchup against the Lynx in the first game. And there are a couple of injuries right now, some game-time decisions, in fact, for this Mystics team. Maybe that's the reason why, right? But I see a Storm team who, I mean, certainly stumbling out of the gate, right? The loss to Atlanta, then getting, you know, really smashed by the Fever in that fourth quarter. But I don't want to lay this type of number with a team that's got a losing record on the road, 6-7 right now, for the Seattle Storm. So my thought is to play that one towards the under. Now, the Dallas Wings check in. They played the one game against the Liberty, and again, they were absolutely routed. Not against the Wings, excuse me. They played the Liberty tonight. They were routed, the Wings against the Connecticut Sun. But the Sun, look, they were able to get 28 free throws up, and they made 11 of 20 attempts from beyond the arc. It's an incredible game for Connecticut. And if the Liberty are hot tonight on the offensive side, they're going to be able to run away from Dallas. But there are some angles here for the Wings that I'm interested in. Probably the most important is Satu Sabale's back. 20 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists in her first game of WNBA action this season. Satu Sabale is, you know, supposed to be one of your top 15 or so players in this league. That's a huge addition. And she's not really knocking off rust. That's why she played 36 minutes here. She was playing over with the Olympics. So you have Satu Sabale here, and you also kind of have what has to be a little bit of a hangover spot for the New York Liberty, who we've mentioned this season, atrocious attempting to cover numbers at home. They go out to L.A., destroy that team, and then lock in and beat Vegas by double digits at home, which is monster. So give them a world of credit. But now back at home, a 6-20 Dallas team, do you really go out there and run them out of the gym by double digits? That's what you need to cover a 9.5-point number. I don't think so. I don't think so. So I'm thinking it's dog night here in the WNBA. We do have a break, though, coming up. We get back, Sports Grid's very own Tom Vecchio in the mix with us here on a Tuesday. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. Game Time Decisions. We are live on Sports Grid. It is a Tuesday night. It is not a Dinger Tuesday, though. And that's all right. We'll leave that be. And we'll leave it. We'll leave what could be an awkward question just on the side of the road. Let's get Tom Vecchio in here, man. Tom, great to have you. How are we feeling on a Tuesday?
I'm doing good. Yeah, you said it's not Dinger Tuesday anymore, but there are still plus 200 boosts you can find on DraftKings. So always be sure to use those. You know, can take a player like Judge or Otani or Jordan Alvarez tonight, who I really like, change that number in a big way.
And I know for you, it's something we've talked about in the past, but the number makes the difference. So those type of odds boosts all of a sudden, then guys that you probably would push to a side, all of a sudden that's the way that you want to attack it. I am curious for you, within those odds boosts, though, is that how you prefer to use them? Or do you ever think about kind of tacking them on to a guy whose number already is good and then really kind of shooting up the ladder?
Yeah, I did the latter tonight. I'm open to both, obviously. Like, I think I saw Jordan at plus 280 or something. Like, I would never bet the number, but Jordan at plus 480, something I love. You know, I took a player tonight at plus 400 and turned him into plus 600. So I'm on board with both. It's a slate-by-slate, you know, kind of approach.
Yeah, no, fair enough. There's one guy you're on that I certainly had eyes on, which makes me feel good about it. In the matchup tonight between Oakland and Tampa Bay, how are we getting involved?
Yeah, let's go to Brent Rooker for homers, plus 400. This is the player that he used the plus 200 on, so up at plus 600 is pretty awesome. Righty-righty matchup for him going up against Shane Boz, but 20 of the 29 home runs for Brent Rooker this year are against righty, so this is a great split to target him. It is a bit of a pitcher's park out in Oakland, but there's some wind blowing out the center, which is always nice. He's got 252 ISO versus righties, 43% fly ball rate, 40% hard contact rate, 156 WRC plus. Boz, smaller sample size this year. We know he missed all of last year, but he's allowing a 42% fly ball rate, 46% hard contact rate, and a 397 slugging versus righties. So let's just take that 400, turn into 600, and we'll go with there with a solid home run hitter tonight.
Yeah, I mentioned being on Brett Rooker as well. I also told people I was going to kind of let them know what I wanted to do with my group of guys. Let's get your other home run shot in here, and then we'll kind of expand on certain different ways to play these guys. Who else are you looking to go deep here?
Let's go to the Mets. They're kind of looking good, and that's Francisco Lindor for homer at plus 430 against Dean Kremer. Lindor this year, 127 WRC plus. He's got a 345 WOBA. You know, good underlying metrics, 43% fly ball rate, 36% hard contact rate. Since his last homer, he has six batted balls. He's hit over 330 feet, five batted balls over 100 miles per hour, so he's crushing the ball right now. He's just not getting home runs, and several of those batted balls hit are over 380. They're just going for outs, which is still good to see. Dean Kremer, not a pitcher we need to be worried about. 1.90 home runs per nine allowed to lefties. His hard contact rate is only 33%, but his fly ball's up at 44, and we see a 16.9% home run to fly ball ratio, which is bad, and a 419 slugging. So give me the Mets with some more home runs tonight, as we saw a bit of a dramatic one last night.
Yeah, that was awesome. Listen, I love that. I think we need more, you know, bat flips and celebrations. Yeah. I like that they shut the lights out. That was electric stuff there from the Mets. You do have a strikeout prop on the card here tonight, right?
Yeah, despite being a Yankees fan, I like Luis Gil under 5.5 tonight, sitting at minus 138. I think this is in for like a true playoff type series between them and the Guardians. You know, he's got a solid 27.9% strikeout rate, but that also comes with an 11.9% walk rate, which is not good. And we look to the Guardians, and for I don't know, since 2016, since I've been writing about baseball, the Guardians have always been a disciplined team at the plate. They have an 18% strike rate versus righties with their current active roster. That's the third lowest in the league. They don't waste chances. Yes, there are times they go through where they may not have a ton of power in their lineup, but they certainly don't give away free chances. So while the strikeout rate can be good from Luis Gil, the pitch count can get driven up because of the walk rate. And if the Guardians are not going to be chasing pitches, this seems like an undernight for Gil. It's sitting at minus 138. I'm willing to go there under 5.5.
Listen, I love it. Before we get to that, I just want to let people know what I decided to do, and I probably won't do this on the remaining Tuesdays, but it just kind of worked out. I took the five guys that I had liked, and I played them all for a home run. That would be Brent Rooker, who Tom mentioned, and that's where I put that little plus 200 boost. Carlos Santana at plus 560. Alec Burleson at plus 700. Alex Call, plus 560. And then a guy that Tom would never bet, not because of the price, but because he does not have the power numbers whatsoever to justify this, Xavier Edwards at 17-1, Tom. We're taking a chance to go deep in a game that's going to start in about 3 minutes.
Yeah, you always bring up those long shots. I remember a couple of weeks ago you said Luis Arraez for homer, and I'm pretty sure he had a homer that day.
Like, yeah, he sure did, and I sure didn't bet it. It was very frustrating, Tom. Good memory on you, though.
I understand that, like, he's an awesome hitter, and believe me, I was on him last night for 2+ little bases, and he gets hit by a pitch twice. He literally doesn't even get to swing the bat. But, like, yeah, good hitters who still make good contact, they may not have a ton of power. They can still go deep, and, like, taking on that odds that are, like, 12-1, whatever it is, like, yeah, I'm with that.
Yeah, I think, for me, a lot of my – the reason I'm primarily in that hit-run RBI market is because a lot of my research or – I am looking at batting average, and I know that people will say, well, we're trying to get home runs. I'm not only looking at batting average, right? Otherwise, I would just every single night put Bobby Witt and just, you know what I mean? But he's not Aaron Judge or Shohei or Marcelo Zuna. You guys get the point. But that's why, again, I'm looking at hit-run RBIs. Let's get on base. Let's knock a guy in. Let's get on base and let somebody else knock us in. But I just felt that the juice was a little out of reach, and I didn't want minus 140s and minus 145s on the card here. Since it is a Tuesday, since I was planning on betting these guys for home runs, that's the way I kind of wanted to go here. And I think, ultimately, due to that boost, if at least one of those guys comes in, it'll take care of the rest of it. And I also don't mind, and I've mentioned this to you before, Tom, but I only bet homers on Tuesdays, right? I have not grown comfortable enough betting home runs on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, where there isn't a safety net, which is the Dinger Tuesday promotion. But obviously, guys like yourself bet home runs on a regular basis, and that's when all of a sudden it's not about a win-loss record, and that's why I know that you always circle up the juice, because that's what makes the difference in the long run.
Right. Like, you have to – it's all about your approach. Like you said, if you only bet it on certain days, if there are days you don't want to do it, if in days that you like a player but you don't have a certain promo, turn that into a total base prop. Turn it into the hit-run RBI prop. Like, I love the hit-run RBI prop. You know, it's kind of like a PRA bet in basketball. Like, there's multiple paths to him getting there. Yeah. He doesn't have to get – I mean, he can end the game with no hits, but a sac fly, he gets on base via a walk, and then someone knocks him in. Like, you can win bets based on players doing things or not doing things sometimes, and you just got to find your comfortability, especially in a long season like baseball.
No doubt about it. It's a consistently kind of changing thing. Can I ask you about a spot tonight, Tom? The Braves matchup with the Phillies. I just think it's a really important one, big picture. The number that's continuing to go in Philadelphia's direction. Did anything stand out for you with that game?
No, I heard a bit of your segment before about it. It's like this lineup for the Braves is looking pretty dead, especially in the bottom half where, you know, at the top, what is it? It's Michael Harris. You have Ozuna, and you still have Olsen there. Sean Murphy, like, they still have some good hitters, but those hitters are not nearly as good as what their lineup would be if they were fully healthy. So I understand why the line is going towards Philly, and yeah, Wheeler is awesome. I have a tough time getting there. If it was a little bit closer to even money, I would certainly be significantly interested in Philly tonight.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Ronaldo Lopez, though, has a ceiling. I don't know if he's going to even be able to flirt with it tonight, where he can out-duel a Zach Wheeler, or match, maybe is a better way to put it. All of a sudden, you have home field. But again, if all of a sudden Ronaldo Lopez only gives this team 4 2/3, you can't be stunned by that, right? Coming back from injury, and that then really shifts the numbers. Well, we are going to stick around with Tom, and we're going to talk some football again. Tom's going to be a big part of our football coverage here on Sports Grid throughout the NFL season. And I want to get into some more season-long numbers. Man, there's a name on here that, people shouldn't be too surprised by because there's some unders on the board. Just think about it. Who's a terrible quarterback that should have never been given the contract he was given? We'll talk about him next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back here, Game Time Decisions. Live on Sports Grid, we're joined by Tom Vecchio. Man, it's interesting. You know, I left a clue out there for people as to which quarterback we may talk about. Some people were messaging me. They were a little offended. How would you know who I'm referring to? And if you did have know, maybe I wasn't being unfair. I'm not sure. Tom, there's two unders that you have here relating to the quarterback position, but one of them involves passing touchdowns. What's your breakdown in this market?
So passing touchdowns are super interesting because, you know, it's not just dependent on the quarterback. There's a lot of different scenarios where, you know, the second quarterback we'll get to, I think, is a complete opposite situation where, you know, we have a quarterback here that may not be, or I don't think is super talented, but he has talent around him. And then what are we expecting from the offense overall? We can look at their, you know, their touchdown rate on a year-by-year basis, their touchdown rate in their career overall. We can find outliers and kind of adjust for that. So are we ready to jump into this? This first player?
Yeah, let's do it, Tom. I mean, come on now. Don't leave the people waiting too much.
Let's do it. It's Daniel Jones under 16.5 passing touchdowns. It's sitting at -135 on DraftKings. The number's 14.5 passing touchdowns on FanDuel. So there's a bit of a discrepancy here in the market. And like these are the opportunities you can find. I don't want to say a middle ground because obviously getting a middle is extremely thin here. But always look for these season-long props. So when it comes to Daniel Jones, I don't think he's good. The consistency just isn't there. You know, he had 24 touchdowns in his rookie year. But since then, he posted 11, 10, and 15 touchdowns in the 3 years. Now, last year, he only played 6 games due to the ACL injury, and he had 2 touchdowns. So if we add up all those years, he had 38 touchdowns in 47 games. That is not a good touchdown rate that we're looking at if we exclude that outlier year of 24. Now, like I said, there's talent around him with Malik Nabers. I think he's going to be an awesome talent individually. I just don't know how consistent Daniel Jones is going to be getting in ball. Slayton's good. Jalin Hyatt. I think these are like interesting pieces. Part of the problem is that they have a horrible offensive line. So we have a quarterback we know is inconsistent. We have a bad offensive line. We also have Tommy DeVito behind him. And I'm not here to say that Tommy DeVito is a great quarterback. He should be a starting quarterback. He's even better than Daniel Jones. I'm not saying that, but we know what he can bring. And that's something different to the table. So the potential that Daniel Jones may not start every single game is 100% there for the Giants. So I can't get myself to betting Daniel Jones overs at any point. So it's about under 16.5 this year.
So there is something that is going to sit out there for the Giants, which is the Russell Wilson thing from last year, where Russ was healthy benched because they needed to make sure that he didn't get injured and then guarantee his contract.
That's a good point.
And that happened to Derek Carr as well.
Right.
And there are some thoughts already from Giants beat reporters that could end up happening to Daniel Jones. And look, I talk about this a lot. I will continuously do this. And then, like, in 2 weeks, I'm going to come on here and give season-long overs out for player props. But the injuries so often will cost you an over that looks good. With Daniel Jones, there's injury concerns, as there are with any player. There's injury concerns elevated because he's coming off of a big one. And then there's this additional, he could lose his job, which is not. And listen, I think Tom makes valid points of DeVito has, I don't know about pedigree, but they might give him a chance. They might want to give Drew Lock a chance, who they paid more money than you would expect to come into that room. But there's also just a world where this team is sat there 4-9, right? And they go, all right, listen, this is it. You're not the guy. We know you're not the guy. We're going to play Drew Lock. And a fully healthy Daniel Jones ends up on the bench. There's another under you got here, Tom. What are we looking at?
Yeah, this one is Justin Herbert under 3,575.5 passing yards. And this is kind of the opposite where I think Justin Herbert's a good quarterback. I think he has a ton of talent, but he's not surrounded by talent this year. And I think the offense is going to put him at a disadvantage. So we know they brought in Jim Harbaugh. Greg Roman is the OC. Run heavy, slow play calls, play calling pace from Greg Roman. We know they have Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. When we look at the wide receiver talent around Justin Herbert, it's basically non-existent. Josh Palmer, DJ Chark, Quentin Johnston, and Ladd McConkey. So we have one of the worst receiving cores in the league. This is kind of different than what we have Daniel Jones, where like there's some talent at least there with the wide receivers, especially Malik Nabers. We don't have that with Herbert. So when we have an offense that's not conducive to be a high-volume passing offense combined with a lack of talent, there are games where Herbert's going to pass for 215 yards, one touchdown maybe, and it's going to be a run-heavy offense. So while I'm personally high on Justin Herbert in terms of his talent alone in long term, it just doesn't make sense that this year he's going to throw for 4,000 yards. Because if that's the case, we should be thinking about them like as a playoff contender, which is not what they are.
That's what I think is so interesting about the LA Chargers is they bring in Harbaugh and people go, ooh, figure out the coaching room, Herbert, success. Then they got rid of all the wide receivers and Herbert picks up an injury and the conversation quickly shifts. You know, the 8.5 win total right now, it's -144, it's juicy the over. But still, I don't know if 9-8 is good enough to get you in. And again, that's right on that cut line there. It's been very interesting, Tom, to see how quickly things have shifted kind of on this football team.
Yeah, and that's a good point about the plantar issue he's been dealing with the foot. Like, he's out of the walking boot. He should be ready for week one. But, like, and listen, he's been very healthy. He's been playing in nearly every single game. He played through that rib injury or whatever it was on that Thursday night game against Kansas City a couple of years ago. Like, he's been pretty healthy. But, you know, one missed game in an already bad passing offense doesn't put it in a good spot where he's going to be throwing for 300-plus yards every game. So I'm not high on the Chargers this season. And they went from one of the best offenses with Eckler and Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and Herbert to maybe one of the worst passing offenses in the league.
Can I ask you this quickly, Tom, because I know you know the fantasy game well. Where are you at on Ladd McConkey? Just what opportunity and everything going into the year?
Interesting, but like again, if the passing offense isn't going to be conducive and they aren't going to be a high passing percentage team, I think he's more interesting from a dynasty perspective, like simply having him on your roster long term rather than just this season.
Yeah, I think that it makes a lot of sense. It's just fascinating that McConkey could very well walk into being Justin Herbert's wide receiver one, which is a stunning thing to potentially be the case. Again, that's Tom Vecchio, man. You're going to see more and more and more of him right here on Sports Grid. Tom, we appreciate it. Best of luck with the action tonight.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
We got Coach James Young right around the corner. Full WNBA slate. We'll break it down with you here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's make it happen. Game time decision. Sprint to the window. WNBA, all three games at 7 p.m. Couldn't do it without Coach James Young. JY, how we feeling?
It ain't game time. It's JY time. I'm not even going to talk, Kevin, because we got three games to go over really quickly.
All right, talk to me. Connecticut Sun, LA Sparks, big number, Coach. What do you see?
Marina Mabry over to make three plus made three. Simply put, Marina Mabry, who shot the ball, didn't make her three-point prop last game, but getting a ton of attempts, really benefiting from Alyssa Thomas driving the ball and kicking it out. She shot 39% last year. She's getting the shot attempts. Kevin, the LA Sparks are the worst team at defending the three. Teams shoot 38% from three. Marina Mabry, three plus made threes tonight for the Connecticut Sun.
Tell me something with the Sun. They've played two games since the break. 109-91 at Dallas, win. 82-70 at Atlanta, loss. Which of those two games, very different performances, resonated with you more when you think about the Connecticut Sun moving forward?
No, it's the first game. Kevin, I think I was on with you Sunday, and I told people I liked the Atlanta Dream plus the points because I thought that people are wildly disrespecting Ryan Howard, although she did not play well in that game. I think it's more the fact that I think Atlanta is a lot better than people realize. They're fully healthy. That team is not the worst team in the league, not even close. They could be the eighth or probably like the eighth best team in the W. They just can't make up the ground. I think that was just a great performance, particularly late by Atlanta. So I'm thinking more of the first game where they hung 100. Won't do it all the time, Connecticut, but they're far better with Mabry.
I think for me, and I can see both ends, I think the fact that they went 109 and right back down to 70, maybe Mabry's not just going to fix this offense that easily. But, man, that performance against the Wings was still super impressive. Dallas is going to look to try, though, and have a much closer game with the Liberty here, JY, on the road, catching 9.5 from Stewie and company.
Yeah, I mean, simply put here, the New York Liberty is the best team in the WNBA. They kind of showed that. To me, it's Jonquel Jones. Her double-double is minus 115 earlier in the day. It's down to minus 135. You could take a look at it, or you could just do – think of this way. Jonquel Jones to get 10-plus rebounds and the Liberty just to win is plus 110. So you don't have to worry about the double-double market. So if you think she's getting a double-double tonight, they should win the game. The problem with the Liberty, you notice, Caleb, they don't cover spreads at home. So if you just take Jonquel to get 10-plus rebounds, New York Liberty to win, plus 110 at FanDuel, if you think she's getting a double-double, just go get the extra 45 cents there and get the 10-plus rebounds and the Liberty to win.
I will say quickly on the New York Liberty in terms of, you know, Coach talking about them being, you know, the best team in the league. Right now, the top spot in win shares amongst WNBA players belongs to Aja Wilson. Stewie is second. Jonquel Jones is third. Sabrina Ionescu is eighth. There isn't another Vegas player in the top 10. You have Jackie Young at 13. Nobody else inside the top 20. They have three players in the top eight. They have numbers two and three. Again, Aja, I mean, look, 7.8 to 5.7. I mean, incredible season she's having. But the aces, what's made them what they've been has been the depth. This season, the Liberty kind of make that argument. What about Seattle and Washington, Coach, here? About a 7-point line, Storm laying on the road.
Storm hasn't covered, I think, last four games, five of the last six. Mystics are secretly good. I don't think the Mystics win, but they're at home. I think they cover the spread, take them plus a point. And really quickly, about the aces, folks, go do a deep dive. Jackie Young's points, the same as last year. Kelsey Plum, about the same. But they're shooting 7% or less from the floor and about 10% from three, especially for Jackie Young. Chelsea Gray's shooting splits are down, too. They're getting the same stats, Kevin. They're not being as effective. That's why. So that's why still, if they could turn it on, Kevin, with the way that they can play, you could still like their chances. But it doesn't matter what Asia does. If Jackie Young, Kelsey Plum, and Chelsea Gray don't shoot it at the splits that are their careers say they will, they won't win the WNBA championship.
They have to certainly shoot the three better. The only thing is, Aja legitimately cannot play better than she is playing. I wonder if she comes back a little bit, what that could do. Again, Aja has room to take a comfortable drop and still be the best player in the world by a lot. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. JY, thank you for making some time here, my man. We'll continue to check in throughout the W season. A little golf for the people next.